Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. The gang's back together once again for another week of your pure entertainment. How are we feeling, guys?
You go first, Jared.
It's good to be back. I just, you know, I miss you guys so much. I've had a long week of travel, and it's just nice to be home and
miss
to see
you
your
too,
lovely
Jared.
Faces. Hey.
Jared had to do the drive from Phoenix to LA this afternoon or this morning into this afternoon. That's a long drive. His sciatica really flares up.
You know? Oh, come on. Don't throw me under the bus like that.
Honestly, I don't know how you do drives like that. I am the most insufferable baby. I don't like road trips. I don't want to do them. I
don't
hate
you
them.
Get nauseous, yeah. though?
I get car sick. My back hurts. I get cranky. I eat nothing but Cheez-Its, and I feel terrible after. And it's just a whole thing. I'm restless. I'm like tip tapping on the car. I'm bugging the driver. I'm doing music ADD, bugging the driver again. It's just not fun for anyone.
Have you and Matt done like a real road trip?
Sedona.
Okay.
It was.
I did
like
the Cheez-It
hours.
Thing on the way back. I was eating Cheez-Its like half the
it's
way
the
home.
Only, that's the only thing to eat in the car. I mean
you know. I ate Cheez-Its this morning because I had some from yesterday and I wasn't
did?
Driving.
I'm jealous. Ooh. I want some Cheez-Its.
Oh, Cheez-Its always delicious.
It's a great road snack. You know, I don't know what it is.
Before we get into today's episode, I just need to remind everybody that we are having a big merch sale on our merch store, 20% off everything. So if you've been dying to get a First Degree shirt or sweatshirt, we have the Cosmic Shuffling of the Deck sweatshirt that is quite gorge. Go on and get your shop on. And also, if you're a member of our Patreon, there's a very special tee only for you to get that is also 20% off. So thought I'd give everybody a little reminder. You know,
thanks for that.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go get mine right now.
Before I have everything already, and I actually wear them a lot.
So do I.
Yeah,
my favorite's just the logo tee.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and simple.
Me too. I'm here for all of it.
Lex, before we start today's episode, we were talking offline earlier because we have our First Degree email set up for you guys. hello@thefirstdegreepodcast.com. It's usually for people to send us in their First Degree stories, right, Lex? But like sometimes we'll get a random rogue email.
Yeah, that's right. And the other day, March 3rd, which was what day of the week? March 3rd was a Friday. So I'm minding my own business on Friday. Having a nice time. It's 11:07 p.m. on Friday. I'm probably winding down. And I get an email. March 3rd, 2023 at 11:07 p.m. Pops up on my phone. And I'm going to do a dramatic reading.
Okay.
Wow, period. Shallow giggles, comma. You could just leave it all alone. Rest easy, comma. Unfortunately, you sure do.
And the subject of this is chilling.
Yeah,
the chilling is the chilling. Subject. I missed that when you sent it.
Subject line: chilling. And I was joking. I sent this to Jack and Jared, our group chat. I sent it to another friend, and I sent it to my boyfriend Matt. And I was like, "This is an email from a ghost. Like this
yes.
is a
yes.
haunted email."
It sounds like AI wrote it. Like, it sounds like
yeah.
it's so all over the place. Like, before you're going to come at somebody with an insult, get your shit together and figure out what you want to say. Because I feel like this is so disjointed. And I don't even know if it is an insult. I don't know what this is.
It's no, not. She's smart. Because cryptic is scary.
Cryptic
People
is
don't
scary.
Like cryptic. Because they're like,
is it a threat?
I don't know. Unfortunately, we're resting easy. I think feels like I wish you were miserable. That's how I interpret that.
Okay,
just so you know, if you're listening, Jack does not rest easy. She doesn't sleep. So
no, I'm not resting easy.
You're incorrect.
Oh, me either. The insomnia is real. So I'm not either.
I think, okay, I want to go through this word or line by line. So the first line is, wow, shallow giggles. You could just leave it all alone. What is this about?
I don't know. And, you know, I'm actually pretty good at taking constructive criticism. This isn't helpful. Shallow giggles, like, first of all, making fun of women's laughs is misogynistic. This came from a woman, by the way. I think no one mocks men for giggling on their podcast. A.
But we don't know this because I giggle and I'm on here sometimes. This could
no
be
one would
me.
Ever say, "Ooh, Jared's weak giggles." Like no one would say that.
You do have a shallow giggle sometimes. Maybe
I do giggle.
You.
I think like it's manly.
No, but like sometimes he has a cute little giggle. But
oh, great.
Then rest easy. Unfortunately, you sure do. What?
Who hurt you? And why do you think it's me?
And also, what are you saying?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Maybe is it a haiku? That's kind
I don't
of the
know.
Syllables.
You know, I Googled this whole thing and nothing exists. I'm like, maybe it's some
poetry?
Sort of lyrics from a song. It doesn't exist when you Google. So this is an original
piece about us.
Original prose from somebody, and
wow. Well, maybe we'll have it framed.
I think we should. Can somebody cross stitch this?
Yeah, we'll post a picture of it. Obviously, not the person's information. She used a real email. This isn't even an alias email. It's a straight up real person email. And I know this because a friend of mine who I sent this to Googled her.
Well, she's not in her Facebook group. I know a little Googling,
but she is
well.
Real. She is real.
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen is she's going to get signed up for a bunch of stuff now.
No,
I don't know who's going to do it, but probably me.
No, we're keeping the email private. There's no retribution for
airing
your grievances.
No, I'm going to do it.
Oh, you're going to do it. Okay, well,
no,
that's fine because you tried to put a curse on us. So
I know, we're not accepting the curse.
No.
That's the weirdest email we've gotten in a long time.
I love it. We've gotten weird. I just don't always share the weird ones. 'Cause I'm like, everyone's having a nice night. It's Friday. Like I don't do it unless I'm like, everyone's working right now. Like I won't do it during fun hours.
Oh, I love a weird email. You should send them all the time.
That's pretty good.
Chilling.
Huh?
I get a man named Adam emailing me once a month, every single month, not on the same day, not at the same time. Every month asking me to sell him feet pictures.
For how much money?
I haven't asked yet. I'm a little scared to engage, but then like I also just am curious.
You could always send him someone else's feet pictures.
He's going to get some pasty size 12s in his inbox.
Some freckly feet.
Send him Jared's, but be like, payment up front, baby.
I know. I just want to know. And it's also not a copy paste. Like he always writes me an original message. Like, Jack, you're so beautiful. How much for feet pics?
Maybe he saw your feet when you were doing Lady Gang TV or something.
I know. Well,
are you in WikiFeet?
I know I'm not on WikiFeet, and that's the problem. Mm. I need to be on WikiFeet because then you know you've made it if you've made it on WikiFeet. But I still don't have an account, and I'm not making it myself.
Well, maybe I'll make one for you. Surprise.
Sounds like we have a job to do, Lex.
Or like a wedding gift.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay, let's get into the day.
Yeah.
Today is March 9th, and I'm going to go through a few days that I didn't end up choosing, and then I'll bring you to the big day of what we are going to talk about today. So in 1562, on March 9th, Naples, Italy banned kissing in public. If authorities were caught couples kissing in public, the act was punishable by death.
Whoa.
I thought Italians were all about like making out in public.
Yeah, they love a public smooch. Yeah, also, it's like that's a greeting.
They grope over there. Like I've been groped in Italy a couple times.
Maybe that
they
happened
grope?
After the Renaissance or something.
Yeah, the men grope.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's unfortunate, but yeah. Paris, France too. I've been groped in every place I've traveled.
Pretty
really?
Much every city. That
yeah, like at a bar. Oh yeah.
Yeah. All the
what?
Time, Jared. Welcome to being a woman.
Just I know. Existing. Sorry, I'm just learning through you guys right now. I didn't know this happened
it's
globally.
Okay.
Oh
next.
My God.
1961. Soviet flight Sputnik 9 carries and returns from orbit a dog named Chernushka, which means Blackie, frogs, and a guinea pig.
Blackie and Chernushka is the cutest translation ever.
I know.
It's just a sweet little pup.
I'm glad that he made it. I'm also glad that they put frogs up into that orbit. It's a random choice of animals. A dog, frogs, and a guinea pig.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Is it cruel to do this, to send an animal to space? Like,
animals don't want to be anywhere but like in the loving arms of their owner or out where they belong in the wild.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems torturous. Like, did he have a chaperone?
No.
Like, no human?
No, it was a mannequin. They put a mannequin on there too. I don't know why they did a mannequin.
Wow. So that is cruel and bizarre.
And then we have two deaths. 1994, Charles Bukowski dies. In 1997, Notorious B.I.G. was killed. So
wow,
those are your dark days. But what we're going to get into today is March 9th, 1959. The first Barbie doll goes on display at the American Toy Fair in New York City.
Love this.
So I'm going to give you a little backstory about the origination of Barbie. So we all know Barbie. She's the first mass-produced toy doll in the United States with adult features. So up until then, people were just like buying little baby dolls, and the
like
kids
fat
were playing
with little fat chubby legs like babies.
Yeah, like Cabbage Patch Kids. So the inventor was this lady, Ruth Handler, and she co-founded Mattel Inc. with her husband in 1945. And she saw her young daughter ignore all the baby dolls that she had and started to play make-believe with paper dolls of adult women. So she realized that there was a niche in the market for a toy that allowed little girls to imagine the future. So Barbie's appearance was modeled after a doll named Lily, which was based on a German comic strip character. And this doll, Lily, was like a gag gift that would be sold in like shady places, like, I don't know. Oh, it'd be like in tobacco shops or like adult shops, and men used to get it for each other for like bachelor parties or stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of, it was an adult gift for men. So that was like the basis of what Barbie was. But she thought that she was gonna, you know, set it off with Mattel. They bought the rights to Lily and made its own version, which Handler named after her daughter, Barbara.
That's my mom's name. And hey, everyone, Barbara means, it comes from the word barbarian. I'm not joking.
Sounds about right.
No, but it's like, if you look at how Barbara is spelled, it's Barbara. Like, it's like an old, what are they? The Amazonian, like, it's like a barbarian woman. It's the feminine of barbarian.
Which is, actually so ironic that the Barbie doll is named that then.
Very. And
your mom doesn't happen to carry around a pair of axes with her everywhere, does she?
Just in her brain. Just emotionally. Emotional axes and whips and all sorts of weapons.
So obviously Barbie became like massive. We all know. I think they've sold billions and billions and billions of Barbie dolls. And it became so popular that in 1961, Mattel released a boyfriend for Barbie that we all know as Ken. But the thing that I thought was kind of weird is Barbie was named after this lady's daughter, and Ken was named after her son. So Barbie and Ken are lovers.
Oh, we got a Game of Thrones thing going on here. Okay, well,
that lady was a little narcissistic. She could have chosen a different name.
She could have definitely.
Because I doubt the son cared.
No. So obviously there's many pros of Barbie. You know, she had a lot of jobs. They were kind of defying gender roles, like blah, 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 blah. But there are a lot of controversies with Barbie. Obviously, with the body image of Barbie, I think her measurements would have been a 36, 18, 38. And it's obviously, you know, for girls, a very unrealistic body image that we are all kind of learning about and playing with in our very formative years of being children. So,
well, in Barbie, the original Barbie, the one with the curly hair, like it kind of looked like Lucille Ball and was wearing the black and white swimsuit.
Yeah, and the hairstyle.
Wasn't that a more realistic body? And over time, it transformed to a skinnier, taller. Over time, it got worse and worse. Where like the contemporary Barbies, probably from 15 years ago, before they started realizing how they were fucking up children with these body ideals, they said something about the proportion, like that Barbie, if she were a real person, couldn't even stand up because of the way the proportions were.
I've seen like rendered images of like what a human woman would look like if she had like Barbie's.
An alien, like someone drawn, because it's not, bodies don't look like that.
Well, like you cannot have an 18 inch waist. That's like impossible unless you're removing what ribs and you are not eating at all. But it's fucking crazy that was, you know, ever a thing that was like so normalized.
I had every single one. I had a bajillion Barbies.
Well, I'm really excited because for True Crime Rewind, we're going to go through some controversial Barbies over the years because there was many. There were some weird things going on. So we are going to come back for that for True Crime Rewind. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either loving or hating. We have a healthy discussion, vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to you on Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And then do we have an On the Stand from a listener today?
Oh, we do. And I also think we should start with it to set the tone.
Okay. I'm excited for this.
Yeah. And I can't wait. And I also just wanted to let the people know that if you want to call in and give us your On the Stand, the phone number for that is 818-446-6889. Again, I'm reading that off the top of my head because I have it memorized. It's 818-446-6889.
It's almost memorized in my brain by now.
What's incredible is that I can't remember any phone numbers at all anymore. No, and I've been trying to remember these phone numbers we use. I can't remember a first degree phone number. I can't remember anything, even though I recite them almost daily. It's bizarro. But Jared, that was impressive. I think you read it off the screen, but that's fine.
It's on my phone.
I gotta say, what I love is I'm noticing a trend. We've got a lot of like Jared related things. This one is a wedding related thing. And I think given, I mean, all of you listening, we shot photos with Jack and Jared last weekend. Oh, we're spending a lot of time on the Jack and Jared nuptial planning. We're all really invested. So I want to hear about from them because, I don't know, maybe people want to plan wacky things for your wedding in France. And I want to know how you guys feel about this.
Oh,
ready?
I'm into it.
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to the first one.
Hello, Jack, Alexis, and Jared. I'm calling in with my first On the Stand. Now, this is something I am prosecuting. I am putting on the stand goofy dances with your parents or someone in your family besides your significant other at your wedding. Now, I am a ballroom dance teacher, so I am the one that puts together and choreographs that beautiful, intimate, romantic, you know, biggest moment of your life during your wedding dance for you and your significant other to enjoy and dance at your wedding in front of everyone, but it's for you. And I want you guys to come in and experience that together. Now, when you start adding in crazy, goofy parent dances, it kind of takes away from that. And I see how much these couples put in all the hard work and all the money they spend. You know, they come in and practice in their outfits and they get ready for that special day. And then they want to do Cotton Eye Joe with their dad. No. So I am saying it's guilty. I think you should just really pay attention to your first dance, to your special song with your significant other. Then you can come in and do parent dances to a special song. But don't choreograph it. Don't go crazy. Your dance is the most special. Love you guys. Hope you enjoy this On the Stand. And can't wait to listen. Bye.
Whoa.
I have so many questions. First of all, we're going to address that shortly. But what I want to talk about is, are dances allowed at your wedding? Should we have a flash mob dance? Should all the girls do a dance? Should all the guys do a dance? Should it be a competition? Should parents dance? Are you guys having a choreographed dance? I want to know. Has this crossed your mind? Should we start taking lessons? How do you feel?
Haven't even thought about it.
I'm not a big dancer.
What?
Definitely not a big choreographed dancer.
You know, I'm not either.
Hate a flash mob. So that should answer some questions.
Sure.
We will not be having any sort of choreographed dance, Jared. We know that, I think.
But are you going to have a first dance?
We probably will have, I don't know. We haven't talked about any of the dancing portions. Cause like, I hate people the thought of people looking at me, like just like staring at us dancing is like so uncomfortable for me to think about.
That makes me want to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah.
It couldn't be further from my vibe. So we gotta figure that out. And we haven't really discussed it yet. I am willing because this whole wedding started as something and now is something completely else. And it's kind of like become like a real wedding. And so if that's part of it, then so be it. But I speaking to this on the stand. She's talking about wacky dancing. I am a wacky dancer. That's all I got. I like just flail around like a noodle. Part. Yeah, I don't
Jared's
have moves.
Jared's a good dancer. Jared was a surprising good dancer.
You know, though, I got to say, the last wedding, we went to our friend Anna's wedding, and I have a video of Jared dancing. Was it with nunchucks, Jared?
Nunchucks, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had nunchucks,
like,
yeah.
That was his dance that night. Like, that's what he did. He didn't want to He was, like, nunchucking. They were, like, glow in the dark, and he was doing that in a corner, and that was his movement for that evening.
Not only was I dangerous, I was illegal, I think. Well, they were practice nunchucks, but...
They were foam.
Yeah. So, just to reiterate, safe and practice nunchucks.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be dancing while everybody is watching us. That just freaks me out too much. I think that there's something really, really special about like a father-daughter dance, but like I also don't like people looking at me. So I need to figure out if there's a different type of a special moment I can have with my dad and my mom.
Father-daughter dances, I think, are so weird.
They're so weird.
What about father-son? Like, what if me and my dad get up there and just start move to hammer time?
If you guys did like a bagpipe, like Irish jig or something that was like masculine. No, okay. But like I also think a lot of the father, I think there's more contemporary ways to work your father into a wedding that don't include giving away and
no.
That dance. It's like there's no dowry involved anymore. I think we can make it more thoughtful and elevated and contemporary now.
Well, like I'm going to have both of my parents walk me down the aisle.
Yeah.
Like, I think, because it's like, yeah, it's not, we're not giving anybody away.
No,
we're
it's
not
for
like,
support and love, and it's symbolic, yeah. And it's beautiful. Like, I trust you with
I'm
my
just
going
to walk with you guys, I think, because we, you know, we're all buds.
We can all link arms.
I'll just huddle behind and come down the aisle, too.
Well, you're going to have to have your own walk down the aisle.
Oh, that's true. And I found an amazing suit. I have to run by often, but it's
Send
expensive.
It to me.
Can we lower Lex in from the ceiling like those wrestlers
Dude.
Used to do?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like how you kind of like come down with like, you know, like strobe lights and like an intro sort of song.
I do love this.
Lex,
send me your suit. I'm excited to see it.
I'm sending it to you right now as we're speaking.
I'm going to say that the dancing of all sorts is, you know what, to each his own. Everybody does their own thing. But for me personally, no thanks. Guilty.
I think that's, yeah, I think it just depends on who you are and what you're all about. And if you're the kind of person who wants to dance and wants more people to dance, then go for it. But I mean.
But we'll be dancing. There'll be lots of dancing. But there's.
No, I'm talking about the planned, like, you know, like kind of how they did in The Office where they spoofed that one wedding video and it's like, you know, everybody has like a choreographed
no,
part. Like,
flash mob.
Not my vibe. If it's yours, that's cool. But I got to go with guilty because that's not my vibe.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Okay. I'll go first, I guess. I'm taking an on the stand from the Facebook group and it's something that I saw that absolutely blew my mind.
Wow.
This post was from Jules Peterson, and she says, on the stand, putting your toothbrushes through the dishwasher. I mean, it's okay for spoons that you put in your mouth, but a toothbrush, I vote guilty. And all of the comments were like, what the fuck? Who does this? And then there were some comments on there that were talking about their parents that do this every day and people that they know that do this on a regular basis. They run their toothbrush through the dishwasher.
What?
Yes.
I don't That's think so- it's bad.
What?
I don't do it, but it's better. Like, listen, the dishwasher sanitizes. It gets hot enough to kill germs, you know?
Yes.
So I get it. And also toothbrushes are gross. They're sitting in your bathroom. If you don't keep your toothbrush in a cabinet, that means toilet plume is coming up all over your toothbrush all the time. I don't think it's disgusting to do, but it's definitely odd. And it's not a commonly known thing.
Just,
no.
Well, I would assume that by now pretty much everybody has like a Sonicare or an electric toothbrush. If you don't, you should absolutely get one. I mean, it's the way to go. And they come with these little plastic covers for the toothbrush head. And if you just slap one of those over the top of it after you – what I do is I brush my teeth and I wash it out and then I dry it with a paper towel really quick. And then I slap that thing on the top of it.
Use a paper towel every time?
Yeah. Just a
or
little
– toilet
just,
paper.
Well, no, not toilet paper.
Toilet paper is going to get into the toothbrush.
That would get all over it.
You have paper Plus towel in the bathroom with you.
No,
no
but
I just
our
go grab one.
So
I mean,
small that you can
my bathroom is basically in the kitchen, so I just go out there and
you do this every you know, time.
I turn around and grab one.
You do this every
yeah.
time.
Yeah, well, because I, when I'm on tour, I do it because I have to put my toothbrush away after I use it. Like, it goes in the little case, and I don't want to put it in there if it's still wet. So I have to, like, really dry it off with, like, a clean paper towel. That's how I do it.
Okay.
But the dishwasher, come on. There's, like, I know it's sanitary because it's hot, but, like, the idea of, like, I don't know, food particles, chicken grease, stuff that's left
that
on a plate
that
flying
goes on
around.
The toothbrush from going in your mouth.
Dude, I know, but your toothbrush is probably, like, just, I'm getting grossed out just thinking about how gross toothbrushes probably are. Like, there's probably so much junk on toothbrushes just from existing as something you put into your mouth. Like,
I have
that
no problem
is what
with
freaks
it.
Me out.
I have no problem with it going in the dishwasher. I'm not going to do it. Because we have electric toothbrushes with heads, and we have a bunch, and we swap them out a lot. But I think better than not, if you're keeping it next to your toilet, like,
at least,
I don't know.
Like, it's a cleanly thing to do. It might be, I don't know, like, does the plastic melt in the
we'll have
dishwasher?
To see if there's
maybe.
A study on this. I'll look into this and stand by.
Yeah, and also, if you're listening out there and you do this or know somebody that does, like, please tell
and
me
you have
more
information. We need more information.
Yeah, but I'll, you know,
I don't need
guilty.
Any more. I don't
not
need
guilty.
More information. I'm saying guilty.
Not guilty for me.
All right.
I don't know.
Who's next?
I'll go next.
Go ahead.
Okay, so to explain this next one, I'm going to use an anecdote.
Okay.
So, you know, when you guys or gals or everyone, you get a text from someone, you haven't talked to them in about a year, and they're like, hey, girl, how you doing? And you're like, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, I'm not mad about. Just, I'm a direct player. Be like, there's like friendships are in tiers, and there's a tier of friendships where it's like, hey, we met because we're going to maybe want to call in favors. We met because maybe we have some like common work thing. I just want people to be like, hey, girl, I got a favor. I don't need to be like, how are you, babe? I'm like, I'm regular, moderate to severe. You, they're like, I'm amazing. I'm doing this and this. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. I'm like really busy. Well, yeah, I just wanted to see how you were doing. I'm like, no, you don't. I haven't talked to you in a year. It's fine. I don't care how you're doing. What do you want? I like want to cut the bullshit. I want people to be empowered to like call in favors and just get the answer you want. Are they going to do it or are they not?
I like this. I like this a lot.
You used to do this all of the time to me.
What?
Yeah.
This you doesn't always sound true. Well, I used to be a people pleaser, so I was afraid to ask direct things.
Yes, that's
Lex,
true. You'd
you pad your requests. She would pad your requests.
But I do it too. I do that out of kindness for other people's feelings.
Totally. But you're saying someone coming out of the blue.
Out of the blue is a no. That's the thing. Doing this to you guys, I talk to you guys every day, and sometimes I'm like, it's a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's pad it a little
bit. I'll be like, hey, guys. And I do this to Jack Stell. I'm like, hey, girl, I hope you're having a great day. Can you do the ads or are you super busy? Do I need to do the ads? Like, that's different. I'm not
Lex will like email or like text and be like, hey,
rock stars.
You're the best person who ever lived on the face of planet Earth. I have a question for you. And I'm like,
would you mind telling me if XYZ? And he's like, why did you need to put all that like pep talk beforehand?
I like the hype. It's nice.
I hype up fucking everyone.
Yeah. I like
No, you're definitely a hype. Like, you're a good leader in that way.
I'm kind, and I give people praise when it's deserved. That being said, you guys are in my direct constant circle,
so I keep the hype going.
But if someone I don't know that well asking a favor, I want to cut through the bullshit. I want people to be like, hey, I know I haven't talked to you in like a year. Remember when you offered to do this thing? I want to talk about that. Or remember when you said that maybe you had an in here? Let's talk about that. Like, I'll do something back for you.
I love the directness, like what you said earlier about just like, hey, I have a favor.
Yeah.
And like, to me, that I have to ask a friend of mine soon. He's a tour manager, and I have to ask him for tickets for my sister. She wants to go to a concert. It's a long story, but we don't talk often, but he is a friend. And so I've been like dreading it because I don't want to be like, hey, dude, how's everything going? Like,
no, don't. You cut through the bullshit.
Be like,
hey, dude, I got a favor. Yeah. It's a family thing. I hate to ask, but blank, blank, blank.
I think you just need to know. Yeah, I think it's people being aware of what tier of the friendship that they are. Because that makes me think about the tour manager of Kygo. I am like acquaintance friends with him, but I have asked him for tickets to Kygo shows so many times. And I'm always just direct. I'm like, hey, I'm in town. Or I'm like, I happen to be in the same town as you. And he's always like, sure, go ahead. And then we don't hang out and it's totally fine. But like that, we understand what type of friends we are with each other.
Transactional.
You don't have to like pretend that you're your buddies. And it's like, let's catch up and grab drinks sometime. It's like, we're transactional or we're acquaintances or whatever. And that's fine.
That's where I am. So I'm prosecuting the small talk leading up to the favor if you haven't talked to someone in 6 to 8 months or more.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Guilty. I'm saying guilty. The small talk is guilty.
I'm going to say be empowered by your favor and ask right away.
Yeah.
It'll feel good for everyone.
That helped me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you feel like you need to pad the situation for the person to say yes, like maybe you shouldn't be asking the favor. Like
maybe you shouldn't.
Like you should know whether it's going to go well or not. Yeah.
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 All right.
Well, I like the direct question because you get a direct answer too.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. No bullshit. We don't have time for that. Jared? Nope.
Okay. So I feel like a lot of mine are about travel, but this happened recently and I was actually laughing as it happened to me. So, you know, when you're at the airport and you're going through security and you're about to go through the metal detector.
Yeah.
And there's a TSA agent standing on the backside of it, just looking at you.
Telling you to come through or not.
And they're like, okay, it's time to come through. The moment when you start to step through the metal detector, where are you looking? Are you looking them direct, like in their eyes, like directly the full time? Like, no. Okay, I'm looking anywhere other than their eyes. But so I have this weird thing that happens where I'm like, if I stare directly into their eyes while I'm walking through this, they're going to think I'm concentrating too hard on not looking guilty. But if I'm looking anywhere else,
no.
I don't think they care either. But it's this weird thing where I'm like, I don't know what to look at right now. So I just look around.
You need to look at the foot outlines where you're supposed to put your feet in that full body scanner.
I'm talking about going through the gate.
Through the gate, as I'm walking through, they're standing on the other side and they're watching you walk through.
The gate?
The metal detector gate. Metal detector, like, door.
They just look at him in the eyes and look sincere.
Look him in the eyes?
I do.
Give him a wink.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I just feel like I look so guilty no matter what I do, even though I'm not. And
maybe
I feel like I'm just going to...
I make eye contact, and then the second I start walking, I look down at my feet, and then I look back up at them.
I make eye contact.
I will say my first flight back after like not flying during COVID, I hadn't flown in a long time and I got a knife for Christmas, like a giant knife. And it was like, I don't know, 7-inch blade. And I forgot it was in my backpack and I went through security with it. The guy pulled it out and he was like,
really,
dude, are you kidding me with this? And I was like, I'm so sorry. Please don't arrest me. It was terrifying.
Well, and you had pre-check. They could have taken your pre-check away.
I know, but he was really cool about it. And I was just like, hey, dude, I haven't flown in a while. And, you know, whatever. So anyways, that's why I always feel terrified when I'm going through
that. So what are you prosecuting or defending?
Looking into the eyes of the TSA agent while you walk through the fucking detector.
Prosecuting it or defending it?
I'm prosecuting it. Okay. Look anywhere else. Yeah.
No, I love it. I look right into their eyes and I convey trust.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
I love that.
I'm saying guilty.
I'm saying guilty.
Whew. All right. Well, that's
Jack, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh, I'm saying guilty.
Okay.
Sorry, Jer.
I'm not.
Okay.
Jer, you said guilty?
I said guilty. Guilty is looking.
Sorry to me who lost. Yeah.
Jack's with me on this one.
Sorry, Lex.
Okay, it's okay.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some true crime rewind.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so we are going to go through some controversial Barbies throughout the years. We're going to start with Teen Talk Barbie. This was in 1992. A Teen Talk Barbie hit the shelf. So this is when they started programming Barbies to like say different things. And Teen Talk Barbie would say things like, "Do you have a crush on anybody? I'll always be here to help you." But then this is what caused all of the controversy. Teen Talk Barbie said, "Math class is tough." And that really pissed some people off because obviously that's insinuating that girls are not smart and can't do math.
Math is hard for everyone.
That's what I thought.
I think
math is tough.
People want to get mad checking about in. Everything. I think that was more just like, math is tough. Even if you're good at it, you're going to have to work hard. Like, what? Math is hard.
Math was really the only tough class that I actually truly struggled with. Like,
me too.
I did get to a point where I was like maybe a little less applying myself towards like the end of high school, but the one class that I just could never ever deal with was math. Worst subject.
I was
by far
so bad at math that in college I had to go take the UCLA Extension statistical reasoning class to apply it to my college credit because I couldn't pass. Like, I tested so low on the math because they want you to do this crazy fucking algebra. Like, yeah. I had to find some loophole to get through the college math because, like, math is not my thing.
No.
We even,
tough.
Jack, a while ago, we all tested ourselves and did long division.
No way.
And it was a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could do it right now.
I literally don't remember how to do it. And I was actually pretty good at math, but it was like forced. I forced myself to be good.
Well,
I'm not naturally good at it.
Crazy calculators. I'm like, this isn't normal math. We were learning all these insane, you know, equations to do on a calculator. And it's like, of course we're not good at math. That was confusing. And we had to use it. It's fake. It's abstract. It's like theoretical math. It's not even real math. Well, you can never apply into real life.
Once you get into calculus, everything is just thrown out the window. They're like, you thought you knew math? Well, this is not math. This is the opposite of math. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, unless I'm going to the moon, teach me just money math.
Tell me in a tangible way how a negative times a negative equals a positive. Like, how the fuck? Like, more negatives equal a positive. Like, that doesn't, like, that's the shit that I always got bumped up on because I'm, like, sort of ADD. But it was like, I was like, no, no, no. You can't do negative, 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 add more negatives, and then be positive. Like, that doesn't make sense.
No. Math is hard. So we agree with Teen Talk Barbie.
Hell yeah. Out you go.
Out you go. Okay. So the next one was from a Barbie. This was like back in the day, 1963. And it was a teenaged babysitter Barbie. And she was sold with a tiny doll-sized diet book. And this is where it got fucked up because the diet book was titled Don't Eat.
Ooh, oh, no.
Isn't that insane?
Yes.
And then there's this other Barbie I didn't include on this, but it was something, maybe it was like an exercise Barbie or something like that. But she came with a scale and the scale permanently just had 110 pounds on it.
Oh, my God.
So
cringe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, giving birth Barbie. In 2003, Mattel released a happy family version of Midge, who I guess was Barbie's friend, that was 9 months pregnant and came complete with a removable belly cover and a little plastic newborn curled up inside. Now, this doesn't sound as bad as it looks because the Barbie is basically cut open. The stomach is just like a big circle cut out of it. And then this creepy little fetus baby alien is just sitting on the inside of the Barbie stomach.
It's kangaroo Barbie.
Lex, are you on this dock? Have you seen the picture?
Yes. No, I haven't seen the picture, but I am in the dock. Let me get into it.
I'm going to send it to you guys just so you can. I need like a little reaction because
Oh my God. The baby's like upside down. It looks like an alien. I hate it.
It's so creepy.
I hate
it. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, like, so disturbing.
So what? Well, I guess that's the better option than like how the other way that the baby would come out. You know what I'm saying? Like if you think
vagina?
About the, yeah, like if you think about the logistics of how a kid's going to play with like pregnant Barbie.
So I guess they're giving her a C-section Barbie.
I guess. I don't know. It's a little bit easier, I think, this way.
It can't be a C-section because the baby is upside down properly.
It's ready. It's breech.
No, breech is when it's right side. It's feet down breech. Is breech.
I kind of really like this like obscure Barbie.
It looks like a fucking dismemberment Barbie. It looks like Steal the Fetus Barbie. Into it.
It does look like Steal the Fetus Barbie.
I hate it.
Okay, next one.
What an oddity. That's wild.
I'll put it in my cabinet of curiosities, but I don't think young children should have it.
No.
Okay, so the next one was Puberty Barbie.
Oh, no.
So they're trying to teach children about this time of life of puberty. This is in 1975. And this Barbie had this thing where you could crank her arm. And when you cranked her arm, it would make her grow an inch. But along with growing an inch, it would make her grow boobs.
No way. No
the
way
boobs
they did that.
Grow?
I have a video. We can post this on Instagram too. It just like she went from being flat chested to like little boobs when you cranked her arm. I don't know if there's like a little thing underneath the chest or whatever, but
see, I actually don't have a problem with this because like a lot of people, I don't remember my parents ever properly explaining puberty to me or what it meant. I think conceptually it's interesting. I think the problem is probably the post pubescent Barbie was like a supermodel, and that's not what young girls are going to experience after puberty. They're going to still be awkward. And if their parents haven't given them a fucking razor, they're going to be hairy. Like, I think it should be more accepting and realistic.
It sounds educational. It sounds like an educational device.
It should be educational.
And yet it's a toy.
Not. It's weird. Yeah. I'll send you guys the video. It's weird.
I believe you, but yeah, send it.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one, I'm going to go through these last three kind of fast because we're running out of time. The next one is Computer Virus Barbie. So this is in 2010.
Oh my God.
And the Barbie was called I Can Be a Computer Engineer. But instead of Barbie coding her own video game and fixing a friend's laptop, she downloaded a virus and then she had to rely on a couple of her boy friends to do the actual tech work.
So she's an incompetent computer programmer.
Yes. She's talking about what she's doing and she goes, because I guess a book came with this, And she goes, I'm only creating the design ideas. I'll need Steven and Brian's help to turn it into a real game. And then she meets up with the guys and explains how she crashed Skipper's computer. And then Steven takes over and tells Barbie, it will go faster if Brian and I help.
Ew. What a damsel, a digital damsel in distress.
Digital damsel.
Oh, man.
Dislike.
It's like me showing up to help with the video stuff.
Digital damsel is something we should coin.
Yes.
You know?
It's kind of, it reminds me of digital get down, like the NSYNC song.
Digital get down.
Digital damsel.
We'll talk about this offline.
The last two, Video Girl Barbie. This is just a Barbie that had a video camera built into it that could stream, record 30 minutes of video and stream it to a computer. So you could see where that would cause problems.
Oh boy.
The FBI ended up doing this whole announcement because it could obviously record inappropriate things.
Wow.
And then the last one is Totally Tattoo Barbie. And this is a Barbie that you could put temporary tattoos on, including a tramp stamp that says Ken on it.
That's my kind of Barbie right there.
Love.
Oh my sweet Lord.
I want somebody out there to find themselves the giving birth Barbie and show us a picture of it.
And I want to buy it from you because I want that in my collection. That's
in your
a
cabinet
wild
of
thing.
Curiosities. That's a yes. That's a collector's item.
It yep. is very curious. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear some of the bad things that you people have done.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, Worsty Firsties, we're ready to hear from you. And you know what? We have some of the Worsty Firsties, it's kind of tapered off. We're still getting them. Sometimes they go to the wrong phone number, which is fine. I'll find them. But if you have never heard your Worsty Firsty and you called one in, I encourage you to call in again. Because we got so many up at the top, and I'm the only one who went through them. And the old ones, they there's so many, I don't even know how to go back to 2 years back. Call it again. We need your revived version of it.
Or please. If you just have a new worst thing that you've ever done, if you've done something bad and you haven't confessed your sins to us, then we would like to know.
Right. And I'm going to remind you what the phone number is for the Worsty Firsty hotline. That would be.
Where are you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to do it.
Go ahead, Jer.
818-446-6889. 818-446-6889.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
I am typically a very long-winded storyteller, so I'll try to keep this as short and concise as possible. But I typically drive back and forth. I live in California, so I drive up and down the 99 freeway pretty frequently. And one day I was driving home in Northern California from Southern California, and I was sitting at a dead stop, basically, on the freeway. It was backed up traffic. And essentially, I was scrolling on my phone while driving, which is very illegal, as I know. But I, probably not, bad morally, but just, bad because of the implications of being on your phone. But I was scrolling on my phone, and a CHP officer drove on the shoulder, and I was in the fast lane. Obviously, at a standstill, basically. A CHP officer drove on the shoulder and flashed their lights to pull me over, and I, slowly but surely started, edging my way over to get to, the other side of the freeway so they could write me a ticket and be pulled over, and I was devastated. It was going to be my first ticket, and so I went to be pulled over, and the CHP officer came in behind me, but they also came in, as we were both getting over, they got behind a big rig. And the big rig then, for some reason, thought that they were being pulled over, and it was this big confusion mess. So when I went to pull over, the big rig kind of took my spot of being pulled over because they also made it to the side of the freeway. So then I just exited the freeway thinking, maybe the cop will, follow me because I could technically be followed off and then we do the ticket thing somewhere else. So essentially, this is my long-winded version of saying that the worst thing I've ever done is, like, accidentally evade the police because they never came for me. And I still am owed that ticket. And I have been, like, mortified my entire life, like, waiting for that ticket to somehow show up. Because I don't, that's a dumb thing to think, but it's the way my brain works. It's like, one day, that cop is going to find me and give me that same ticket for being on my phone, but also for now evading the police. Because I have somehow evaded the police accidentally. But yeah, that's the worst thing maybe not the worst, but that's probably the most illegal thing I've done is accidentally evade the police, but it was really unintentional. Like, I was ready to, like, take my piece and, get my ticket for being on my phone and driving. But, yeah, I instead evaded. So that's the worst. Thank you guys.
I, love this. This is a victimless crime.
Yeah.
This is a victimless crime. Because this isn't even a crime.
You didn't even mean to evade the police, but suddenly you're like Bonnie and Clyde, all alone, like rogue, outrunning the police without even trying. It makes you even cooler.
Yeah.
I think that you have nothing to worry about. I don't think they're coming after you. You didn't even get a ticket.
You didn't get the ticket, and you didn't mean to evade. And obviously he's like, maybe the cop was like, ooh, a big rig. I've got bigger fish to fry.
Also, this is the worst highway patrol cop I've ever heard of. He's just like, oh, what? A semi? Well, guess it's over.
Guess I, like, can't get off the off ramp now. Like, he could have followed you. He could have searched for you. He could have tried a little bit harder. He just you go. You could have been a bandit.
Yeah.
You weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably turned on his siren and then he was like, oh man, I'm hungry. I don't want to do this one. And then you just, like, somehow easily got out of his line of sight. And he's like, well, I guess I'll just go get some lunch.
To be honest, you're so brazen that I feel attracted to you in a weird way. Not like sexually, but like if you were here, I'd be like, we're friends. Like, that was kind of cool.
I think, yeah, she'd be somebody that I would want to choose to be on my team in some survivalistic
game. And also, like, you feel bad about being on your phone. Like, we know that can be bad. But if you're in bumper-to-bumper traffic, we know how tempted everyone gets. Everyone does it. You're just doing what the common person does. And, you know, that's CP.
You're not that bad.
Oh, you're amazing. And you're sly. Maybe you were built for crime. But I hope you don't pursue that at all.
And I bet you probably pull your phone out a little less often since that happened. So that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I think you're perfect. A little bit of a lesson.
We're here for it.
All right, Lex, what are we signing off with for today?
Oh, I've got something.
Oh, she's got something.
The last line is controversial, but it's going to be fine. I'm a Georgie boy living in the void. I'm real spastic. My waistband's elastic. You can touch my hair. You'll feel my scalp is bare. Abomination. Got hella limitation. Come on, Georgie. Let's have an orgy.
That was 100% my favorite one you've ever done.
You have perfect pitch. You have perfect pitch.
I do. Yeah. Amazing.
You did that without a reference note or anything.
Oh, my God. Thank Beautiful. You.
Incredible. Wow. 100%.
I'm feeling good about this now. I wasn't so sure how it would be received.
10 out of 10.
Amazing.
We gotta record that.
I know. I love it.
Yeah, we're gonna sample it for our next song.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, love you guys.
See you Tuesday in our Patreon feed.
Yum.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.